Everyone doing well? Good. Let me just mention, obviously we're talking about Christmas, which really freaks me out because I used to just do Christmas on Christmas Eve. Like, I just used to go shopping. Boots 3 for 2. There are other great stores available, by the way. But Boots 3 for 2. So, but let me just say a big thank you to everyone who's already taken a tag off of the tree for the toy appeal from last week. Just a big thank you for that. And also to say there are tags left and available. And wouldn't it be amazing if over then this next week that all of those tags went? And then can I encourage you, make sure you buy your gift. Bring it back by the 3rd of December, and then we're able to wrap them, present them really nicely, and then on the 10th of December here, we're going to get a trolley. I think we've got a deal with the local bookers. Again, there are other great wholesale... Anyway, I don't need to keep saying that, Nathan, for YouTube, but... Yeah, we've got a deal with Booker's big trolley that we're able to borrow for a couple of weeks. We're going to put them all in. We're going to bring them out. We're going to pray over them, pray over every child that's going to be blessed over Christmas. It's going to be a real special Sunday and believing that they're going to have a great Christmas. So, and as April said, the big Christmas show is already halfway, half filled on each show. That's Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night as well. And so firstly, if you've not got your tickets, hurry up. You can do it after the service, not during my message, but after the service. And but then invite your friends and begin to do that. Great stuff. Well, you ready for the Word of God? So good. Well, if this is your first time at Icon Church, we do want to give you a huge welcome. So come on again. Let's welcome everyone. So great to be together. And as April said, believing God will speak to us today. And if you have a mobile device, then you can follow along with my notes. The QR code's there, or you can head on to the Bible app, YouVersion Bible app, click the three lines. And then if you go on there, events, and you'll find Icon Church on there. We're finishing our letters series, and it's not working because she's sat on back row. I'll just put it there. And so good. Now, you can go on the Bible app, three lines, and it'll be up there all the time. But I'm believing God wants to speak to us today. And as we finish this Ephesians series, believing God wants to speak to each and every single one of us. So let's pray. Let's open our hearts to God's word. God, we thank you. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're with us. We ask you to speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you want to follow along, Ephesians 6, final chapter, we're going to read 8 verses together. From 10, verse 10 to verse 18, says this, I'll read it from the screen here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And the title of my message today is Stand Firm. Stand Firm. And at this passage, this part of the passage where Paul starts with a finally. He's said a whole load of stuff, and you can go back and listen to all of the Ephesians series that we've been doing over the year. You could read the first five chapters, but then it's this final charge to the church in Ephesus. It's this final charge to this church from this letter, and he's saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. How many of us know we try and find our strength in many different places? You can think of physical strength, and for some of us that might be going to the gym or might be doing exercise, or it's that physical strength that we try and find. But here where Paul is saying, finally be strong in the Lord, he's meaning to receive strength from God. To receive strength from God, not from any other source, but actually finally be strong in the Lord. Why? Because there are days of evil. I know, usually I start with a nice story that maybe gets you laughing, but we're going to just dive in today because there's so much in this. But maybe there might be some nice stories later for you. But it means to receive strength from God in the days of evil. Because how many of us know situations come and it feels like a day of evil? It can feel like there are moments where the day of evil comes, but the calling to us is to remain strong. And our strength comes from God. And that day of evil comes, and that day of evil, here in the passage, the word that is used, Paul uses the word the devil comes, and the schemes of the evil one, the schemes of the devil. When the day of evil comes, it's to cause division. We talked about unity last week, and if you didn't hear that, I'd encourage you to listen to that again. But it causes division from God. It'll cause division. It'll tempt us to walk away from our relationship with God. It'll tempt us to distract us from our relationship with God. And he's called the devil. Why? Because that word, the devil, means accuser, slanderer, divides God's people. The evil one is looking to separate you from God, to discourage you, to tempt you, to distract you. But there's good news for us. Because we've overcome. We have overcome. In Revelation 12, it actually tells us that we overcome that by the word of our testimony. By the word of this word of God saving us, it's the word of our testimony. And so actually, many times in our lives, that day of evil, I'm just trying to paint a picture for us, okay? Stick with me, it's gonna get a whole load better soon, okay? It's gonna get good. But we have overcome, why? Because it's the testimony of our words. It's the testimony of what God has done in our lives. So actually, it's a war of words. It's a war of words. And so it's not a war, here in these verses, it says our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's not with flesh and blood. It's not with the people around us. We're in a fight, not with those around us, not with other people, but it's actually a supernatural thing. And I believe it's a war of words, but we have overcome, and we overcome by the words of our testimony, by the confession of our testimony, by the confession that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus has saved us, that Jesus died on the cross, that Jesus has rose again, that he defeated hell and the grave for each and every single one of us. And so we can win this fight. But how many of us know that days come and they feel evil? Days come and it feels like it's tempting us and distracting us and trying to pull us away from what God has for us. And so here's why Paul goes, hey, take on the full armor of God. Now, I was thinking about this, and sometimes we'll hear the armor of God and we'll think of maybe our kids' ministry. I know in Goo Tots, they've got the armor of God set up there. They've been doing it in Goo as well, Ellie. They've been doing the armor of God in Goo as well, and all of that. And but sometimes we leave that to the kids and even to the youth, but it's for us. Paul's writing to the church. It's for us. But sometimes we dismiss it because maybe it feels a bit like, it's for the children. No, it's for us. That how many of us know that in moments of evil, in moments of our days, we need the armor of God. We need to take it. Why? Well, it says in the title, to stand firm and to keep on standing. and to keep standing in every single day. And so here, there are different weapons that God has given us. I'd love it if we had a six-hour service right now and I could go through each of these weapons for us today, because he's given us truth. He's given us righteousness. He's given us peace. He's given us faith. He's given us salvation. He's given us the word, and he's given us prayer, and he's done all of that. And so as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, every single time I speak for the next few times and probably into the new year, I'm just going to highlight one of these weapons or this armor that God has given us so that we can actually begin to take it up. And so, but today I want to focus on the shield of faith. The shield of faith. And here's what Paul says in verse 16 of Ephesians 6. He says, take up the shield of faith. Take it up. Take up this shield of faith. Now, I think many times when we think of shield, I've got my props. We think of a shield like this, Captain America. I wonder if I throw it out, it'll come back to me. Who knows? Today, I won't try it. Otherwise, Gavin will be worried. Insurance claims, all of that. But we think of a shield like this that we're holding, and it's this round shield, and it's like this shield that we're able to do it. And if we think about it, we think about this shield, and you know, it tells us in verse 16, it says, take up the shield of faith so we can extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. And for many of us, we might have this kind of picture in our mind. And I wish I'd have done this now. I wish I'd have got someone in the crowd with a bow and arrow and I tried to shield away all the fiery darts. But come on, just pretend. Just pretend you're firing darts at me right now. That back rower into this now. I've got a paper cut on my head. But we think about this, don't we? We think about, and it's like our action and all of this, but it's not the kind of shield that Paul was talking about. He wasn't talking about that kind of shield. Actually, in Greek, the shield that he's talking about is, it actually means door or door shaped. I've got a little example of it here. I was going to get a full-size one, and then I looked at the price of them and thought, no, I'll just get this one. But it's this oblong ancient Roman shield which looked like a full door. And it was large enough, unlike this one, to provide full protection from an enemy attack. Full protection. See, for many of us, we live our lives thinking the shield of faith is like this one and we've got to point it in the right direction. No, the shield of faith that God has given us is enough. It's full. It gives us full protection. It's not just part protection where I have to point it in the right direction. No, it's given us full protection. I was reading, I'm not 100% certain about this because there are different people who say different things, but like this shield could have been custom built for the soldier. It could have been custom built for the soldier that actually it was big enough to protect that soldier. It could have been custom made, custom filled, custom built. And here's the thing. Romans 12 tells us that God has given us all a measure of... Some people on front row read the Bible. I'm happy about that. He's given us all a measure of faith, a custom amount of faith for each and every one of us. Why? Because God knows our past, our present, and our future, and he'll give us a perfectly tailored shield of faith for our lives. Here's what I want to say to you today. You have enough faith for what God has called you to do. So stop comparing. Stop comparing your faith to somebody else's faith. Stop comparing. We all complement each other. We all come. We all bring our shield of faith. He has given you this shield of faith for life. So take it up. So take it up. Lift it up. Take it up in your life. Another thing as I was researching is some of these shields would have been made where they would have like a thin bit of metal down the middle. And then it would have been leather. It would have been like wrapped in leather to create the size, and it kept wrapping in leather. And then what they would do before they went out to battle is with a big barrel, they would dip it in water and bring it out. In verse 16, it tells us that it extinguishes the fiery darts of the evil one. As I was reading that, it's dipped in water. And as the darts hit it, as the arrows hit it, they're out. It's, I love that sound. That sound. You see, it's for all the young people, it's dripping. That's a 37-year-old trying to be cool right now. I've got loads of things going through my head right now that I don't want to say. So stop, Nathan. But there's this dipped in water. Water in the Bible is likened to the Holy Spirit. Between your shield of faith and the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to do what God is calling you to do. Between your faith, your shield of faith, and the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to do what God is calling you to do. And all we have to do today is take up the shield of faith. Take it up in our lives. And so my one aim this morning is to build your faith. So you can walk out of here going, I can. No matter what the day looks like, I can. Because I've got a shield of faith, I can. No matter what the enemy tries to throw against me, I can. No matter what the world tries to throw against me, I can. Because I have my shield of faith. Anyone excited to be their faith to be built today? Come on, church. Hey, don't be quiet. You can say whatever you want. Shout back at me. Say whatever you want. Throw insults from the back row if you want. Do everything. But let me define faith for us today. The first thing is this. Faith is believing. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says this. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's this, believe in God, I believe he exists. You know, I'm stood on this stage because I actually believe in God. I know some of you are really happy about that because I'm speaking today. But I actually do believe in God. I don't just believe in a higher source or a higher power. I don't believe in an energy or a secret. I believe in God. I believe where it says in the Bible that there was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe in that God. I believe he is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit. And I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. Like, he's three in one. I can't figure it out. And I'm glad about that because I don't want a God who I can figure out. I want a God who is big and magnificent and great, and that is our God. That's the God we follow. A God who is in perfect community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but has created community, his church, to be together. I believe this is not just a nice idea. It wasn't just like, there's lots of things out there, I think I'll go with God. No, I believe in God. I've experienced his power, I've experienced his grace, I've experienced his love for my life. This is not a TED talk, this is not an inspirational podcast. This is the word of God that transforms people's lives, that does that. And so I believe in God, and I believe in what he says. You see, that's harder today, in today's society, with the rise of secularism. We've never needed God more, though. We have all the technology we've ever had. We have more technology than we've ever had. We have more money, more opportunity, more access. And yet we've never needed a spiritual life more than we need it right now. Because as a generation and as a people, we're more medicated than we've ever been. We're more anxious, more broken, more addicted than we've ever been. And we need God more today than we've ever needed him. And let me tell you, even in all the advances of the world, and I love all the advances in technology, I'm stood here with my computer being able to preach to you rather than trying to read my own handwriting. Thank the Lord. But even that, we have not ascended past God because he's so great and he's so good. And I believe in God, and I believe that a generation and a people need to believe in God. They need God because he is the hope of the world. But I also believe in God Everyone knows we have a rule here. One claps, we all clap, but no silly claps. Alex, I saw you try and do a silly clap there. I don't just believe in God, I believe God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tells us that we believe that he exists, but he's a rewarder. He's a rewarder because our life moves in the direction of our faith. What we put our faith in is the way our life goes. It's the direction our life goes, that our life moves in the direction of our faith. And so I don't just believe that God exists. I also believe what God says. I also believe what God has for me. I also believe his promises over my life. I also believe all of those things. You see, Jesus said four words that will define your life in Mark 11 and verse 22. He said, have faith in God. Like, you just, I think you can live your life that way. Have faith in God, because it becomes the foundation of everything that we do. It's the foundation of how I live my life. It's the foundation of how I walk in my life. It's the foundation. I'm saying faith is believing today. A way we take up our shield is believing in God. And no matter what gets thrown at me today, I'm going to believe in God. Why? Because I'm going to take up my shield of faith today. Because who knows what might come against me. But hey, guess what? Whatever comes against me, God's given me a shield of faith. And I believe God, he's a rewarder, he's a rewarder. And our faith in God will sustain you. It will keep you standing. It will help you to stand firm in this life. Faith is believing. Secondly, faith is speaking. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Faith is a spirit. There's a spirit of faith. It's spiritual. It's supernatural, this sense of faith. The only way I can explain this, have you ever been walking into a situation where all, like, it seems like I should not have any faith in this moment, and yet I have some faith. Yet I have an element of faith. I always remember my dad telling the story of my mum and my youngest brother, Sam, were in both my younger brothers, actually, Sam and Josh, were in a really terrible car accident, head-on collision. My mum it was years ago, didn't have to wear your seatbelt, I think, in the back. I don't know all the details, but she went through the windscreen, okay? And this was high-speed head-on collision. Josh was sat in the back. He hit his head on the back of the seat in front of him. My mum, I didn't know, was a rugby player, but she had Sam in her hands. She managed to pass him into the footwell. I mean, if you look at Sam now, you might think something's wrong, but there was nothing wrong, honestly. I'm only saying that because he's not here today. And but she did that. And Gavin actually was working with my dad at the time, and they're driving into the hospital, and he always says, drove in, they didn't say anything in the car, which is like, what do you say? As they're driving in, he just has this spirit of faith. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Well, he got in, and it probably felt like the day of evil had come, because the doctors quickly got him and said, we're worried about your son, Josh. We think he's got internal bleeding. We think we're going to lose him, all of that. But he had this, everything's going to be okay. Everything was okay. Because there's a spirit of faith. Spirit of faith, a spirit of faith that God has for you in your situation. And that spirit of faith is believing and speaking. I believe, therefore I have spoken. It's not an energy, it's not a vibe. You know, you come into this place, and you know, I've heard people say this at times, oh, there's a great energy, there's a great atmosphere, there's a great vibe about the place. Yeah, there is, but let me tell you what it is. It's a spirit of faith in this place. It's a spirit of faith that God can do what we can't imagine. God could work in people's lives. God could turn a situation around today. We could see healing. It's why we pray over things all the time. It's why we praise God for praise reports. Why? Because there's a spirit of faith in the place that God is at work. And so when we gather, it's not an energy or a vibe. No, it's a spirit of faith when we gather together, knowing that God is with us and that God is for us. Because ultimately we will say what we believe, and ultimately our belief and our words will shape our lives. I think the guys will drop that on the screen. They were there. Ultimately, we will say what we believe, and ultimately our belief and our words will shape our lives. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, who took up that shield of faith? Who took? Don't worry about the goo music, right? They're just worshiping right now. There's a spirit of faith in that room, okay? But they're taking up their shield of faith right now. But I was thinking, who took up their shield of faith? King David. Because he had loads of moments where he spoke things out. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. Like, this is David. And he's saying, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I know what you're saying, right? Because we have to protect our say, what we begin to say. But I know what you're saying. It's easy, David. But David's in his day of evil. Just before this, he said, 1,000 were slain to my right and 10,000 to my left. But I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and he is my fortress. And so we have to protect our say, because faith is speaking. So another example, I know you need more to be convinced. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. David is talking to himself. Only crazy people don't talk to themselves. So we all talk to ourselves. But here's what David's doing. He's commanding his mind, his will, and his emotions to come into line with who he wants to be. He's letting his soul know, I'm the boss. Unlike my four-year-old child, Silas, who says, Daddy, I'm the boss. No, you're not, son. I'm the boss. And I have to keep telling him, I'm the boss. He thinks he's four going on like 14. It's crazy. But here's what David's doing. He's bringing his mind, will, and emotions into line, because your mind, will, and emotions will try to dictate your life. But we're going to live from a spirit of faith, not just from what I'm feeling. And he goes on in the next few verses of Psalm 103, verses 2 to 5. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here comes the war of words. He's going, hey, there's a testimony over my life. What? He's forgiven all my sins. He heals all our diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Any 37-year-olds played 90 minutes football this week who need their youth renewed like the eagles? I don't know why you're laughing at me. But he's commanding himself. And he's reminding himself, and he's talking to himself, and he's saying what he wanted, otherwise he would have done what he felt. You either say what you want, or you will do what you feel. You either say what you want, you've got to protect your say. Got to protect your say. Here's another one. Psalm 100, verse 1. Mum, if you're listening to this, I've thrown it in Passion Translation for you. Lift up a great shout of joy to Yahweh. That word Yahweh is the name of God. Okay? Go ahead and do it. Everyone, everywhere. Not just some of us. Everyone and everywhere. In the shower in the morning, do it. In the car on the way to work, do it. In the toilet at work, do it. I want to hear stories. You know, like in Acts where Paul and Silas are in prison and they're in the inner cell and everyone's listening to him. I want to hear stories of your workplace. They were listening to me singing those songs, church songs, while I was on the toilet. But sing it everywhere. He's saying, hey, begin to do it, begin to do it. Begin to praise everyone, everywhere. Why? Because faith is speaking. I know for some of you, you stand here in church and it's a little bit like, yeah, I'll sing the songs, right? But I've seen you at Chesterfield games. I've seen you at concerts. Hands up. Back row yesterday in the Cop, Alex White, hands up, singing, Bonnet get battered everywhere they go. Sorry if you're a Barnet fan in this place, but come on, town. I've seen you. I've seen you at the concerts. You go crazy when you go to see Beyonce or whoever it is. You go crazy, see Arctic Monkeys, whoever it is. But here, we got to sing out. Why? He goes on, verse 2, worship Yahweh with gladness. Sing your way into his presence. Why? Why do we take that 25 minutes to start our service singing? Why? Because we're singing our way into his presence. We're saying, God, you're welcome here. God, I'm going to worship you, and I want your presence here with us. But here's the thing. We do all of this, and we do all of this. Why? Because on a Monday, you can do exactly the same. Get the whatever your streaming service is loaded up. If you're still on CDs, all the best to you. Trying to find a CD, all of that. But sing your way into his presence every single day, everywhere, every time. Why? Take responsibility. The team here do a great job, but guess what the team are doing? They're just opening a door. You got to decide, I'm going to walk through it. So I'm going to sing my way into his presence. Why? Because he's good. Because faith is speaking. We're not doing this for some sort of vibe or because we think it's cool, because we believe something supernatural happens when we open our mouths. And that has a lot to do with our Mondays as well, because we want to give you a platform to walk into your Mondays with his presence, but also to know that you can put it on and be in his presence on a Monday. We do all of this so you can experience going, this is awesome. I need his presence, so that on a Tuesday, you're worshiping your house, you're worshiping your car, you're worship everywhere, everywhere. I've got more to say. I don't know whether to say it. Shall I? Time's going. Ephesians 5, verse 18 in the Message. Don't drink too much wine. I'll leave that. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of him. I love how, this is Paul writing in the verse earlier. I love how Paul likens drinking too much wine to actually drinking the Spirit of God. Why? Because when you drink too much wine, people get loud. I love you, man. All right, only me ever experienced that from, like, you're all too holy. You don't hang around with people who drink too much wine. They get bold. You get free. Not worried about tomorrow, but that'll cheapen your life. But the Spirit of God will make you loud, loud with praise, loud about what God is doing, loud about that. You'll be free, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You'll be free. You'll be free. And guess what? You'll not be worried about tomorrow. You'll not be anxious. Why? Because we're getting to live the life God has for me. He goes on to say this, sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God, the Father, in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. You know those old hymns that we sing, right? They were written to the melodies and the tunes of old pub songs. I know if we came in here today and we said, oh, we've wrote this song and it's on that, you'd be like, oh, blasphemy. Get it out of here right now. No, no, no. They used to do that. All those old hymns were written off old pub songs, and they were like, you know what, this goes down well in the pub, so let's change the lyrics. Let's sing it in church. Why? Because we're going to sing some truth rather than the pub songs. But I love this point. Any excuse to praise God. Any excuse. Your heating came on in the morning. Praise God. It's getting cold out there. You got your favorite parking spot, praise God. You got our parking spot, praise God. Just any excuse. Because why? Because the world's looking for any excuse to complain, to criticize, to argue. But when you have the Spirit of faith, it's any reason to praise. Faith is speaking. Okay, we're going to go quick. Faith is doing. James 2, I'm going to read two verses to us, verse 26, says this, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I think this is there's an order. As we take up our shield, we're going, we believe God. We believe in God and we believe God. We begin to speak it out that we're believing God, and then we begin to put it into action. I don't think it works the other way around. I think some of us try to live our lives working the other way around. We try and do stuff before we've actually placed our faith in God. We try and do things and then we go, why am I struggling with this obedience? Why am I struggling to do what God's called me to do? Because I've not placed my faith in God. I've not placed my faith in what God, who God is, and I've not spoke it out in my life. We need to have a conviction of belief and speaking which leads us to doing. Great example of this is one of the disciples, Peter, who walks on the water, and he says, he sees Jesus, though he doesn't know it's Jesus, but he says this, Lord, if it's you. Firstly, let's just recognize he calls him Lord. Not Jesus, not Mary's son, calls him Lord. Okay? He's believing you're God. You're the Lord of my life. If it's you, tell me to come onto the water. If it's you, he's speaking it out. If it's you, tell me to come onto the water. Okay, there's a belief. He's God, and I'm speaking it. If it's you, tell me to come out onto the water. And then Jesus sends the words back. Come. Now I'm stepping out. Now I'm going to step out of the boat. Now I'm going to do it. Jesus responds to what Peter says. He responds to the words, and then Peter goes and does it. He believed, he spoke, and then he obeyed. Don't get the order wrong. You're not going to walk in spiritual victory without a word life and a prayer life. Start with believing and speaking, and it leads to doing. With 40 seconds left, my longest point of all, faith is connecting. The team are going to come back. Don't get distracted by them. I know they're very good looking. Do you know one of my favorite stories in the Bible of the Gospels when Jesus ran is in Mark 2 of the paralyzed man on a stretcher, where his friends grab him on the stretcher and they say, hey, we've heard this Jesus is in town. We're going to take you to where he is. We're going to take you to where he's meeting. And so they grab him and they do that. And then they open the roof and there's this moment of incredible faith. They open the roof, they lower this man before Jesus. He stands there. But the bit that always stands out to me is that in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he looked at the guys who lowered him. He didn't look at the guy on the stretcher. He looked to the guys who lowered him and he said, when he saw their faith, he then speaks to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. And I'm always encouraged. Why? Because it was their faith. He responds to corporate faith. We get around a group of believers and he responds to our faith together. He responds to a corporate faith. That's why I think it's so important to go to church when you don't want to go to church. That's why it's so important. Because it might feel like I've got mustard seed size faith. Well, let me tell you, you can do a lot with mustard seed size faith. Okay, Jesus said you can throw a mountain into the sea with mustard seed size faith. But it might feel like that. And it might feel like, you know, I hope you always want to come to church. But can I be honest, there are moments where it doesn't feel like I want to go to church. You wake up that day and you're thinking, not today, not today. And so you're on the journey from home to church and your kids are just absolutely wild. You put them in the car 10 minutes before you're leaving just to get them out of the way. We don't do that at all. You're on the way to church and you're just thinking, just be quiet a minute. And you're thinking, I could just be at home now with a cup of tea, with my blanket on. I know some of you are longing for that right now. Don't say yeah. That's most you've responded in my message. And you're thinking, I could be home right now. And then someone gets up and says, say hello to your neighbor, give him a high five, a handshake or a hug. And you go for the handshake and they go, we don't do handshakes here. Come on, give me a hug. And you're like, oh no. That awkward hug. Please don't do that if you don't know them. Just give them a handshake, please. In Jesus' name. Then the worship kicks off and you're kind of like, yeah, I'm not into this and that. And then all of a sudden the light technician's doing a great job, but that one light just hits your eyes. Every single time, it's just on you. It's not on the person next to you. They've got an incredible spirit of faith. And it never hits them, it just hits you. And it's blinding me. But as it goes on, Worship leader says, Dave encourages us, hey, come on, let's lift our hands. And you're going, this is all you're getting. This is all you're getting today. I don't want to be here. This is all you're getting. Some of you don't even go there. You're going, no. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. So we get there, but something begins to happen. Faith starts to rise. Faith. And you leave church and you get in the car and you go, oh, I'm so glad I left. Do you know what? I had such a spirit of faith today. And God's going, no, you didn't. But everyone else around you did. Everyone else around you did. And I saw their faith, because God is good. He's a good God, and he's a good God. And so they go into battle with these shields, and they position themselves in something called the phalanx position. And it would be a tactical formation consisting of a block of heavily armed infantry standing shoulder to shoulder in files, several ranks deep. I've got a little picture to just show you of it. This is what they would do, and they would sit there and they would do that. And guess what? As they position themselves and they put themselves there, they're shoulder to shoulder with each other, their shields are overlapping each other. And guess what the enemy can't see? He can't see the person who's behind it totally fired up. Like, I'm ready for battle. I'm ready. But the person next to him, shaking in their boots, scared, scared. The enemy cannot see it. Why? Because there's a corporate faith. And when we put up our shield of faith together, our faith is connecting. And one guy's fired up, one guy's shaking, but all the enemy sees is unity, a corporate faith, and the enemy doesn't know where the weak link is. We link up our shield, we link up shield to shield, shoulder to shoulder, and you're able to do something we could never do alone. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Romans 1, verse 11 to 12. Paul writing again, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. See, my faith encourages your faith. Your faith encourages my faith. My faith needs your faith. Your faith needs my faith. And so today we take up the shield of faith together. We connect with one another. It might look like, do you know what? I haven't got much. I might look like I'm shaking in my boots, but you know what? There's a corporate faith here. And faith for us today is believing. Faith is speaking, faith is doing, and faith is connecting. And we can take up the shield of faith today, knowing we have everything we need for this moment. We choose to believe. We choose to stand with one another. We are standing firm in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you believe it today, come on, let's lift up a shout of praise. Come on, why don't we lift our hands in this place? I see some one fingers. I see some crossed hands. Come on, let's lift up. Might be a little bit of faith, but we're going to stand today. Lord Jesus, we lift up your name. And we take up our shield of faith today, God, and we trust in you. Today we make a declaration that you are God over our lives. Today we make a declaration that we believe in your words and what you have for us. And so today we protect our say and we say of you, God, you are our refuge, you are our strength. We will walk from this place in obedience with you, and we stand with one another in our faith, connecting with one another, believing today, God, that you will speak to us, you will work through us, and today we can walk from this place knowing that we have everything we need in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's sing together.